There we go. Third time's a charm. I'm an alcoholic. My name's Kyle. Grateful to be here. And as you mentioned, sobriety date 7/15/02. So a month and a half ago, I celebrated 24 years. Crazy, crazy, crazy for this fearful, egotistical alcoholic. I did not think I was going to make 24 months, 24 weeks, 24 days, 24 hours. Well, there were plenty of times that I didn't do the lower half of that, and that's because I was in the grips of this insidious disease. And I do one of the th well, anyways, I have service commitments. This is one of them. I have a big mouth and energy, and so that was where I landed as far as service commitments. Much respect to all the folks who give service to this meeting, and even more so who attend the dreaded business meeting. Yes, much respect. Thank you. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I sponsor other guys. I have home groups. I have both online and in-person home groups. I don't want to use up too much of my 20 minutes here to go deep dive on all that, but they're meetings that inspire me, and I love the spirit of this meeting here. I love how everybody's extending the hand and lifting each other up, and understanding the, what do I want to say, the phrase, we do together what we can't do alone, because that's definitely the case for me. Because if I'm alone with that disease, and that disease is speaking to me in my voice and giving me poor suggestions and pushing me away from you, all bets are off. All bets are off. I'm going to try and get through the early stages and get to the recovery, try and be in the solution, not the problem. I was born into a dysfunctional alcoholic family. Dad was the alky, mom, maybe. And I had a younger brother. My mom's mom and dad, my grandma and grandpa came and helped raise us when mom and dad divorced when I was four. Mom told me I was the man of the house, and I can assure you that was bad news for my younger brother. Anyways, it dabbled with born and raised in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, and because I know there's a few Bay Areas. Anyways, yeah, I dabbled a bit with booze was my main thing from the start, and that's why I landed in AA. Drugs are part of my story; they will be mentioned, but not in a celebratory way by any means, because those all of those, that wonderful cocktail, whatever it was to get me high, low, psychoactive or otherwise, took me down the rabbit hole. I'd have one good time and then chase it 100 times. Anyways, I dabbled with that a bit. I was always embarrassed or terrified by the results, so I tried to stay away from it. I didn't know what to do. I was a latchkey kid. My grandmother was there for me a lot of the times. Mom was working two, three jobs. No dough, no show from dad. And grandfather was just kind of a buffoon who didn't, I don't know, didn't have much respect, in my opinion, for my grandma nor my mom. And those things come into play later. Anyways, got into sports, which kept me away from the booze and drugs to a certain degree, as I got into late high school, early college, and desperately wanted to be accepted and attention and all that good stuff. Then I started dabbling again, and very quickly the wheels started wobbling. Yeah, things within the family structure fell apart drastically and suddenly. I'm not going to go into all those details, but they affected me deeply. And yeah, so anyways, during that course, my mom, on my grandmother's deathbed, disowned me, got thrown out of the house at 18, 19, and moved into San Francisco. Landed in a punk rock flop house. I was a music fan, mostly metal, but started getting into punk rock very quickly because it was very angry and very indignant and full of energy. And I had a lot of energy, didn't know what to do with it. I was very angry. I was very rageful. Saw other families that were at least on the surface doing much better. Mine had absolutely imploded, and my faithful and thoughtful peers, love to dig me about that, just get into me and yeah, what's up with your family? That's great. Well, that's really helpful. Anyways, got deep into the punk rock, was working in restaurants and going to a lot of shows. I thought I'd spend a few precious moments just, because the bands were important to me. Minutemen, Meat Puppets, Husker Du, Sounds of Liberty, Saccharine Trust, No Means No, English Subhumans, Gun Club, Bauhaus, Poison 13, The Damned, The Dead Kennedys, and many more. Anyways, I took a lot of that rage into the pit. We had group therapy out there. I lost a lot of jobs in restaurants, and usually restaurants are a little bit more lenient than most places, but because I had gotten deeper into the drink and other things, I wasn't a employee of the month by any means. I was always getting into it with other employees, and things just did not work out too well. So anyways, the ride started going poorly. There was the AIDS HIV epidemic in the early 80s, and I was kind of in ground zero of all that. And a lot of my friends, I had a variety of friends with a variety of persuasions, and a lot of those people were dying as a result of IV drug use, sharing needles, group a variety of sexual encounters, and people were dying all around me. And on the one hand, I thought, yeah, I'm hanging with the cool kids. That's right. And then on the other hand, I was scared out of my wits. I didn't know what was going to happen. It certainly felt like the circle was closing and I was next. I wanted to get off the ride. I didn't know how. The only tools I had were sticks and rocks. And I took a hostage, as it were, as we say sometimes. And it was one of the girls that I was dating, and I was dating more than one. I will leave it at that. And this was a girl who had her stuff together, in my opinion. She knew who she was getting involved with, and she said, "This is the deal, buddy. If we're gonna, get into a serious relationship, and I'm gonna keep an eye on you slash take care of you, this is what I need from you. One, we're going to get married. Two, we're going to have a kid. And three, we're going to buy a house. And most importantly, four, you are going to finally hold on to a job, that's going to be high paying and high pressure. And you better not let me down." And I was desperate. I told her whatever she wanted to hear. I said, "You bet, I'm that guy. You know I am." And so off we went. And we had a beautiful daughter together. I had a high pressure, high paying job, and moved into commercial printing, and things just were on a roll. I'm great at starting things. I'm great at interviewing, and but the midterm is tough, and keeping things rolling is tough for an alcoholic like me. Things started falling apart again, and I found some poor soul to tell my tale of woe to, and got caught, and I'm in general terms right now, and we decided to go to marriage counseling, and I got 12-stepped in marriage counseling. The marriage failed, but I stayed sober. Go figure. I was sentenced to rehab and 28-day spin dry, and that was in Oakland, and I found some of my peers. I found people who were speaking of similar experience, and I was definitely I wanted to hear more. I felt like, I had lack of trust for all my old wonderful pals that I was in the punk rock pit of despair with. Those are the folks that, steal your money and your belongings and your drugs and help you look for them, as we well know. Anyways, in order to graduate rehab, as it were, had to get a sponsor, and I had to go to X amount of meetings. So I wanted to talk about my first meeting. It was in Oakland, and I read the schedule wrong. I went to a young people's meeting. I was not a young people, and at the beginning of the meeting, some kid said, "Hey, dude, you're in my seat," and I was like, I was not a happy and calm person at that point. But I managed to bite my lip. Anyways, at the end of the meeting, I pretended to look at some of the flyers there on the for other meetings and such. I did see the steps on the wall for the first time, and 4, 5, 8, 9 were definitely glaring at me, and I knew in my heart that those were things that I was running from my whole life. And that was definitely one of the first revelations I had in this program. I got a sponsor who was more than happy to go through the steps with me. I will say that I was asking a little bit dramatically and intensely, "I can't graduate rehab unless I get a sponsor. Somebody help me. Help!" Sorry. Anyways, somebody came forward, like shrugged, and said, "Dude, I'll help you work the steps." I mean, I almost fell over. I thought, "Oh my God, this guy has got to be a saint that he would listen to all my bull." Anyways, we got busy. I wanted to touch on a revelation from step 6 and 7. As it says, after going through 6 with my sponsor, and before the amends, it talks about, going home and praying and meditating and asking higher power for guidance as the rubber really hit the road, as starting to make amends to folks. And so I was out in the backyard of our house before I had gotten thrown out, and I'm looking up at the sky, and there's no moon, but there's no clouds either, but there's a ton of stars sparkling out there. And it was kind of cold for California, boy, and it was almost 50 degrees. Anyways, I had a revelation. A thought came to me. A thought came to me, and I felt like all those stars were all of us in recovery, as we say, shivering denizens in the dark and in the cold. And we were sparkling, and we were starting to get our lives back, and our souls back, and our spirits back because of this amazing and unpredictable program of recovery. Then I had another thought that these stars were all connected with lines, and all these lines created a net. And if I happened to stumble or I'd happen to fall, that this net would catch me. And that was something that brought me to tears. And I was all in. I was ready, I had been with some folks in rehab that were like, "Brothers and sisters in recovery, we're going to go to meetings every day together, and we're going to call each other, every single one of us, every single day." And within 2 weeks, all of us, but there were about 30 of us that were going through about the same timeline, and all of us but two had gone out. And I was like, "Oh man, this is not good. This is not good. What's going to happen next?" And Sponge just said, "Keep the blinders on, one day at a time. Just do the right thing. Suit up, show up, do your best." That meant a lot to me, because sometimes my best wasn't very good, and sometimes my best helped people out, So many people came up and talked to me, and heard all the crazy thoughts that were coming out of my head, that the disease was more than happy to continue to manufacture my misery. And I just, I managed to continue to push myself, separate myself away from the disease. Because I used to think I'm evil incarnate. Nobody can save me. And that was needless to say, a big problem. But when somebody started talking about, separating myself from the disease, that was huge for me, because that was something different. That was not me. That was something that had its grips in me, and I was working to push it away. One of the tools that I used, I visualized myself walking into the octagon like MMA, and there was the disease, and I was like taking all that anger, all that sadness, all that hatred, all that rage, all that anxiety, and pointing it at the disease rather than people who were near and dear to me. And I'd say, "What do you have today for me? Bring it. Let's do this. I'm done. I can't do the other way anymore, and I don't want to do the other way anymore." First conference, I went to see Clancy down in Yuba City outside of Sacramento, a pleasant and quaint little meth nest. Say that fast 5 times. Anyways, before Clancy, there was a young guy. Old timer said, "Go hear this guy. He's fantastic. His name is Jack G from Southern California." I'm like, "Okay, cool. Old timers tell me to do something. I'm going to do it." About a minute and a half into the talk, I realized the guy was one of the singers of one of the bands that I mentioned earlier. And I thought, without this guy knowing it, he gave me permission to stay, because he was a hip slick punk rocker just like me, don't you know? Anyways, things continued to move forward. What do I want to say? Child visitation with my ex was very difficult. She was very upset with me, and rightly so, for cheating on her. And I had to jump through a lot of hoops. At first, I was very indignant. How dare she? But then I came to a quick realization, like, dude, you brought this on yourself. And the more that I accommodated her, the more gracious that she was, and the more time I got to stay with my beautiful daughter, spend time, and I'd work for whatever, month and a half, 2 months to get enough money for the plane ticket, for the rental car, and for the motel room. And, we'd get to hang out for a weekend, and then I wouldn't see her for, month and a half, 2 months, something like that. Anyways, she'd be like, "Daddy, when am I going to see you next?" And I finally got the, I said, "I can't do this anymore. I need to," because what happened, and I'll back up. They moved out of the state. And at first I was fighting that. I was like, "You can't leave with my daughter. It's not your daughter. It's our daughter, fool."
Two minutes, Kyle.
Thank you. I'm going to try and put a bow on this. I'll do my best. And thank you. I'm an overly enthusiastic and long-winded, sometimes alcoholic, but trying to carry a message of experience, strength, and hope. And I hope you're getting something out of this. Anyways, all the folks that I was going, all the guys that I was going to meetings with in Oakland helped me load my truck. And all the guys I was, when I went up to visit my daughter up in Oregon, they would help me. They helped me to unload the truck. And I could have done a geographic easily, but I got busy instead. I got into the rooms. I said, "This is me. This is what's going on. Fearless, thorough, and honest. I'm trying to tell you where I'm at, and I want this, and I'm ready to go to any lengths to get it." And they put me into service. Big surprise. Anyways, that helped quite a bit. And can have worked the steps a few times, and each time more fearless, more thorough, more honest, and more revelations. With service, I never know where it's going to lead me, and I'm grateful for that opportunity, and I'm grateful to watch guys go through stuff that I've been through, and try and avail myself of my experience, strength, and hope. And let's see, what else can I say? I met my wonderful wife, Janine, who's in this meeting today, and boy meets girl on AA campus, and she happened to be sitting across the room next to my sponsor. I was like, "Hey, there's my sponsor. Yeah, hey, who's that next to my sponsor?" Anyways, we took it slow. We took it slow, and I got to a ask her 84-year-old mom's for her daughter's hand in marriage. You know, that wasn't me. I was the guy running out the back door before. But now, you know, I got to be honorable because of this program, and you all showed me how to do that. I'll do my best to try and pass that along. Much love, grateful for the opportunity here, and thank you for the great meeting and the kind hospitality. Peace.